With me, I have Naren Arul Raja, who is the founder and owner of Equa Marketing, and he's going to share with us more tips from his personal and professional expertise. So welcome, Naren, and on this podcast, which is again to the point, practical information for your success, we're going to discuss SEO, which stands for Search Engine Optimization. So, Naren, what is SEO and why is it important for a practice?
Thank you, Doctor, for the opportunity. And the reason SEO is important is we live in a world where consumers are calling the shots. I mean, I'm sure you've heard the saying that 90% of the people who walk into a car dealership know exactly what car they want to buy and how much they're going to pay for and what options they're going to get. And the reason is they can do their research up front before they even talk to a salesperson ever. And that's happening not just in car dealerships or car purchases, but pretty much for everything in our lives. So the way people used to do things in the old world before Google, before the internet, is they didn't have an easy way to get information unless they went to the library. So obviously they responded to ads, the big yellow page ads, the big billboards and so forth. And the one they see when they have a problem is the one typically they look at, the business, right? And then they respond to that business. So, you know, print and lots of those old methods used to work in the old days. But now what happens is everybody carries a smartphone. Everybody has a, you know, computer that, you know, 20 years ago would have cost us $2 million in our pockets and our, in our desks. So we ask questions of our computers all day long, and the computers help us make decisions, help us learn about whatever we are looking to learn on, right? So people start by asking questions, and search engine optimization is how do you optimize your website, how do you optimize your presence online, so when people are asking questions, you show up. You show up and you show up the right way. So that to me is what search engine optimization is.
Very good. Now, we all know and recognize the role that Google has with online presence. So what is the connection between Google and SEO? How does Google go about creating SEO?
Yeah, that's an excellent question, Doctor. I'm sure you've heard of the stat, but 6 billion people use Google every day. And Google has multiple products. They have Google Maps that people use on their smartphones and on the go. Google has Google Search, again on desktops and on the go on smartphones. And Google has, you know, YouTube, which is a great, as you all know, a video product that people use to learn about things. So people combine use Google 6 billion times a day to find things, to discover things, to learn about things. And so the three key factors that we need to pay attention to make Google happy, which as you know is the market leader when it comes to local search, they control 80 to 85% of the market, are the following. First is to follow Google guidelines. So Google guidelines are posted for millions and millions of webmasters to see. Google doesn't give you the easy way, but it gives you the right way. It tells you what you need to do to make Google happy, so you start showing up more and more and more. The second thing Google appreciates and looks at a lot is content. So that's, you know, the information that people discover, because at the end of the day, people are coming to Google to learn things, right? So the information or the answers they get is really what it's all about. So if the information or the content is not great, if it's not original, then Google doesn't like it. So original content is a word that you keep hearing more and more and more in the SEO world. And it really comes down to that. Do you have real people creating the content, or are you using templates? Are you using content that are from templates that many others use? If you are using template-based content, obviously in Google's eyes, you're not adding anything new, adding anything that's your own voice. So they don't favor you, so they don't rank you. So having original content is the second key point. And finally, Google is millions of computers all doing number crunching, right? So Google has to count things. And one of the things they're counting is what's inside your website. The other thing they're counting is what other people think of you. So for example, the story behind Google itself is that Larry Page was trying to do a PhD thesis and he didn't know which papers to read. So he wanted to find a shortcut, so he said, okay, if a lot of others have referenced the papers and those people are good, that means the paper that I am going to be reading will also be good. So he started studying what other people said about a particular paper, and they applied it to the internet. So they looked at links, and they looked at things like NAP, and we'll get into that in a bit more detail. So that's called external SEO. To summarize the three key things, follow Google's guidelines, focus on original content, focus on what happens to your website outside of your website, links, NAP, etc.
Excellent. So we all recognize that as a practice, we've got to have online presence. And once we have online presence, a website, we also got to be found when people look for services we provide. Because if our website is ranked very low, nobody will find us. So what good is our website? So this next question for you, Naren, has two parts. The first part is, how does a practice owner go about identifying how effective their SEO is at the moment with a website? Part one. Part two is, what can they do to improve SEO in their website? Just a few quick tips.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, to me, SEO, you know if SEO is working if your business is growing. So the best metric, I think, is how many unique calls are you getting from your SEO efforts. So one of the things we do with all of our clients is we set up a unique call tracking number just to track the effectiveness of SEO. So that's one metric. If you compare it, let's say, 3 months ago to today, and if you are getting more calls today from SEO than you did 3 months ago, something is working. The other thing you can also look at is Google provides a tool called Google Analytics. So you can use Google Analytics to figure out how many people are seeing you. So Google will tell you, keyword by keyword, how many people typed in the keyword in the month, and what's your average position. So the reason Google looks at average position is Google will personalize results based on device, location, and search history of the person. So you might see something in number 3 spot on your iPhone, but somebody else might see it number 10 spot on their desktop, mainly because your location, your device, and what you have done in the past. And the idea of that Google's thinking is that depending on those three factors, the answers should also change depending on what you might need at that given moment. So looking at Google Analytics, looking at the keywords you're asking for, looking at how many people typing in that keyword and your average position is important. Another key metric at a 10,000-foot level that I like to look at is how many of the keywords are in the top 3 spots on average, according to Google Analytics. How many are on page 1? Why do I look at that? 70% of the people only click on one of the top 3 results. 95% of the people only look at page 1, which is the top 10 results. So knowing how many keywords are in the top 3 and page 1 is also important. And again, compare that to 3 months ago, 6 months ago to see if your trends are improving. I know, you know, veterinary practice owners are really busy, but if there's one thing I would like you to spend your time on is to spending a bit of time understanding Google Analytics. It's very easy to use once you get a hang of it. It'll tell you lots of information as to where people are coming from, what city, what they are doing on your website, how long they're spending, what are your popular keywords, what are your popular pages. So really having that awareness will help you have intelligent conversations with your marketing friends. But at the end of the day, hold them accountable for results. The other metric I look at is keywords in the top 3 spots and page 1. It's because 70% of the people look at the top 3 results and 95% of the people never go past page 1, which is the top 10 results. If there's one thing I would suggest you do if you have the time is to spend some time understanding Google Analytics, because the more you get into it and the more you understand it, and by the way, it's easy once you get into it, the more intelligent conversations you can have with your marketing firm. It'll tell you things like what pages are people looking at, how much time they're spending, what's the path they're taking. You know, lots of very interesting information as to what your users are doing on your website. Finally, I still would recommend that the number one thing you always should focus on is the number of calls being generated by SEO, and is that number growing? Because if that number is growing, everything else you do is meaningless, right? At the end of the day, you don't do marketing because you have nothing else to do. You do marketing because you want to grow your business. So the best metric from that point of view is how many calls you're generating and how is the number of calls growing. Keep in mind, I have noticed that 20% of calls are new patient calls. So if you're getting 500 calls, that doesn't mean you're going to get 500 new patients and new clients. It probably means you're going to get, you know, 20% of that. But if the number of calls are growing, that means your number of clients are growing.
Good. So these are the things you need to pay attention to as you improve SEO of your website. And I imagine that you also mean that these are the things that one should continually pay attention to over time. Any ideas of how to continually pay attention to these things? So always stay on top?
Yes. Now I'm going to talk a little bit about the technical side, about how do you, what should a good marketing team do to grow your SEO? So there
exactly.
are lots of things. I think I touched on it in the beginning. The first thing is, are you following Google's rules? The best time to follow Google's rules is when you're building a website. Now, we take around 200 hours building a website, and we don't pass this cost on to the client because most of our clients, 90% of them, stay with us for life, so we eat more than half the cost. And the reason we take 200 hours building a website is we want to follow Google's rules consistently and completely. So, for example, I mentioned Google loves original content. So, we have 14 writers and they write original articles. I think that's extremely important because if when you're launching your website, it doesn't have original content, that's minimum 350 words and tons of it, then you're starting from a negative place in Google's eyes. Another thing Google talks about is following the tags and other rules that Google has set up, so the way the pages are set up. Now, a lot of people will use tools like WordPress and so forth, and it's great because it's easy, but the problem is if you want to play the game of ranking for hundreds of search terms and getting hundreds of phone calls from Google, you cannot get the same flexibility and the same results with things like, these standardized tools. So we, on the other hand, use HTML. HTML is the building block language that gave birth to the Internet. So that's the language that the Internet standards were built on. So everything at the underlying level is HTML, and then on top of that, people build tools. The beautiful thing about HTML is it's like, baking a cake with your grandma's recipe. Yes, you have to use eggs. Yes, you have to use flowers. And yes, it takes more time. But you can be very precise in how you mix your egg and your flowers and your sugar, which you cannot do with a cake mix. So if you're looking to rank for hundreds of keywords and get a lot of calls, I say use HTML. And HTML is not complicated. My 13-year-old daughter can do it. It's pretty straightforward. That's the most basic language of the web. It just takes a little bit of time for somebody who's interested in the Internet to get used to. But once you get used to it, it's very powerful. The next thing Google cares about is the people Google sends to your website stay on that website. Because if those people get irritated and leave your website, then that means Google sent them to the wrong place. So what are some of the things that will irritate people? If your website is not optimized for different devices, so let's say I'm on an iPhone or a Samsung Galaxy 6, if when I load up the page, it's not easy for me to use. It's like I have to scroll left and right. That means you're not following, Google's mobile standards. In that sense, what happens is if Google sends that person to your website, the person is going to get irritated. So Google has various tools and standards around mobile optimization. So make sure your website is built in a mobile responsive way so it's optimized for every device, which means your user is happy and therefore your Google is happy. So there are lots of other things Google also looks at. Speed. So Google has a tool called Google Speed Test. Run your website through Google Speed Test tool. I mean, we recommend, 90% score on Google Speed Test tool, both for desktop and mobile, because if you want to, again, rank for hundreds of keywords, getting 90% or higher score would be a great, great place to start. Now that your website is built, that's mobile optimized, that's with original content that follows Google's tags and guidelines, that uses HTML, etc., make sure that it also reflects your brand. Because, if your website doesn't reflect you, people are going to feel cheated. So if you are, a very lively and upbeat place and your website is kind of dark and boring and, not reflecting your mood, then people will see that. There will be an inconsistency between your website and your brand. So make sure your website, when you're building it, it's built custom so it can be truly reflective of your brand as opposed to something template-based. And then once the website is built, what can you do to make Google happy? So there are two parts. One is content. So have a team of writers who are able to produce original content, minimum 350 words, targeting different things you do. So you can start going after different keywords in all the different areas you care about. Obviously, the more good content you have that's written the right way, with writers who are writing it for the first time as opposed to template-based stuff, the more you're going to rank. And the third thing I would suggest is external SEO. And Google provides lots of tools to analyze the links you have and the quality of those links. One of the things I would suggest is get rid of this, the links that Google no longer likes. So Google is constantly updating its rules, so always keep checking if Google likes your current set of links, and if it doesn't, then get rid of it. And then, I'm sure you may have heard of this, Google recently started bidding heavily on artificial intelligence. So the head of Google Search is the guy who used to run artificial intelligence for Google, a team called RankBrain. So in the old days, if you typed in the same search query, you would get the same result because it was all driven by a program and the program always did things the same way. Now what's happening is the low-level algorithms like how to, see if your page has original content, that's still written by people and that's program, standard program, so they behave the same way. But the high-level algorithm that decides whether to give 30% weight to the, original content piece or whether to give 25% weight to the keyword piece, that's driven by artificial intelligence. So Google is studying, Google is at the very top that decides the weightage given to different algorithms is driven by artificial intelligence. So what Google is looking for keeps changing from day to day. So what we do is we study the sites that Google tend to like for a particular keyword. So let's say, a veterinarian for dogs, Los Angeles. So if one website is number one right now, for whatever reason Google likes that website right now for that particular keyword, study that page that Google seems to rank number one. See what's right in that page, what are the things they are doing, and then duplicate it. So we have a team of 105 people, so we spend a lot of time studying the top people for the top keywords and then reverse engineering what they are doing. The unfortunate thing is Google's artificial intelligence system keeps changing, right? The whole point of artificial intelligence is that, it keeps learning and it keeps growing. So as it learns and grows, what it does also improves. So you have to constantly be at it. You have to constantly be looking at who is Google's favorite today for the top keywords and then learning from them. Because Google itself is learning, so nobody even inside Google knows how Google is going to behave. That's the beauty of artificial intelligence. It's constantly getting better and better and better. So anyways, I don't want to talk too much about artificial intelligence, but that's the direction the world is moving in. Google is moving in that direction. Apple is moving in that direction. Just like mobile was the big thing for the last 10 years, all these top companies are betting that artificial intelligence is going to be the next big thing for the next 10 years. And we'll get to a point where these computers that are specialized will become smarter than humans in specific areas. So they are constantly learning every day.
Very good. So all this sounds really important and sounds really interesting. However, Naren, I'm a veterinarian. I went to school to study veterinary medicine. I don't understand those things. So what can I do if this is not my cup of tea?
Yeah, I think it's really important for you to find the right partner and know what the right questions to ask for. So for example, like I talked about, at the end of the day, SEO is just a means to an end. SEO that doesn't make the phone ring more and more is useless SEO. So, when you are picking somebody, look for track record. Look for how many times is the phone ringing, how many clients have they worked with, and what's their track record making the phone ring more and more. Look at data, right? Obviously, talk to these other veterinarians when you're picking your clients when you're picking your partner, because then you have a strong company that has a strong track record. The other thing I have always found to be interesting is, if you don't put enough effort, you don't get enough results. A person who practices 5 hours a day will do better than a person who practices 30 minutes a day. Just common sense, right? So one of the ways to measure that is how many hours is the company putting in on a monthly basis for its clients. And what did they do with those hours, right? Because if you put only half an hour's worth of effort, then you're going to get half an hour's worth of results. On the other hand, if you put 40 hours worth of effort, you're going to get 40 hours worth of results. So really start asking some tough questions as to what exactly are you doing for me? How many hours are you putting in? What's the output from all the hours that you're putting in? And finally, what's the results that's coming out of it? How is my calls growing? How is my keyword ranks growing? How is my visitors growing? So look at the data behind hours. Look at the data behind these metrics that show growth. and pay attention to it, both in picking the company as well as you work with them on an ongoing basis, so you know that, you know, you're taking one step forward and the next step forward and so forth, as opposed to just, you know, having a beautiful website, etc., etc., but eventually you don't see anything from it.